Don't turn there, but last week we saw that Jude 3 said this. He said that he found it necessary. Did you hear that? Not just a good idea, but necessary. That he would write exhorting us to contend earnestly for the faith. We're to be contending for something, for faith. You know, the word contend, if you break that down back to its original, con means with and ten means to strive. So what the word tells us is that we're striving. You know, in some striving, there's some effort that has to be put in. Amen. Come on, there has to be some got to give it some unction, some of your substance, some of your livelihood. And we are striving. We're striving for faith. Jude said that he thought it was necessary that he would encourage us to contend, to strive for, to contend. That means we're contenders. Come on. You ever heard that term? Come on, there are contenders in this battle. There are contenders in this round. Contenders are people that are striving to accomplish something. They're competing to get something done. Hallelujah. We are contenders in the earth. Come on. We're the contenders of God. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. Isn't that what the word tells us? Let me just let you see it. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says we're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I like that. Come on, once we get in and we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and we begin to lay hold of eternal life, that's it. We've confessed right there. We've acknowledged the call into the faith life. We've acknowledged the call as a contender. Come on, as a contender, one who's striving for the life of faith. Why? Because we win by faith.
Amen.
In this earth, we win by faith. The Bible says we overcome by our faith. And so we're contenders in this fight of faith, and we're contending for faith, amen, for live faith, for strong faith, for faith that gets the job done.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
You know, we're called into faith, into the faith fight by the Lord Jesus. We can't forget that. This is not something that man made up. This is not something that just the faith preachers made up. We're called into the fight of faith by the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know that we are the army of God. Come on, we're the soldiers of Christ brought in by the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, he is the head of the church. He's the head of the army. And the fight that we have is the fight of faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, faith originated, the principle of faith originated in heaven from God. Hallelujah. Faith is a force. It's a substance. It's tangible. It's spiritual. It's real. I mean, faith does things. You can see faith. You can know faith. You can have faith. You can use faith. Come on. Your faith will accomplish things in the earth. So faith originated from God. It's a force, but it's our work in the earth. Hallelujah. I love that. We get to work with God in the earth, and we do it through faith. So this is our spiritual fight. It's a fight of faith. To what? To believe God and see it come to pass. Come on, we got to find some things to believe God about. We can't just be tiptoeing around happy to be a Christian. We got to have some faith projects like Pastor said. Amen. We got to be fighting the fight. Come on, I say bring it on. Come on, I say bring it on. Sometimes, you know, the more impossible it looks, the better. You know, I'm not interested in what I can do. I'm interested in what God can do. Come on, we're interested in living this supernatural fight of faith.
Amen.
Amen. We weren't called to be natural people. We are a supernatural church composed of supernatural people doing supernatural works. For we are laborers together with God. How about we say that? We are a supernatural church.
We are a supernatural church.
Composed of supernatural people.
Doing supernatural works.
Because we are laborers together.
With God.
Hallelujah. So this life is a life of faith. Praise God. And part of our fight of faith is that we have to stir ourselves up. Come on, we got to stir ourselves up. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you need a good stirring. Oh, yeah. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, you need a good stirring. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, you need a good stirring. Amen. Glory to God. We do need a good stirring. You know, we can't, in these days, we can't get lethargic. We can't get lazy. We can't get sleepy. Come on, we can't get cold. We can't get lukewarm. Nobody wants to be spit out of the mouth of God, right? We can't be any of that. We're going to have to stay hot. We're going to have to stay fiery. We're going to have to stay alive. We're going to have to stay energetic. We're going to have to stay alert to the things of God, to the life of God, to spiritual living. And in order to do that, we're going to have to stir it up. The Bible tells us many times that we're to stir things up. You know, some things, like if you're cooking, some things have to be stirred up. Amen. You know, if you're making a soup with many ingredients, come on, how many of you know there's many ingredients to your God life? Amen. This is not just about one thing. It's not just about you getting the message of you know, walking in divine health. It's not just about you getting the message of faith. It's not just about you getting the thing about God's peace. It's not just about you learning how to pray. I mean, there's all these ingredients that go into your Christian life. It's kind of like a soup. Vegetable soup. Oh, my mama makes good vegetable soup. I mean, but she puts all kind of vegetables in there, not just like one, not just like two, but I mean all kind of vegetables. But then what happens is she has to stir it up for that soup to come together and to present the true flavor, the richness of all that it's intended for, to really produce what that recipe says is supposed to bring forth. Come on, I'm talking about our Christian life. If we're going to bring forth of God, of the kingdom of God, the things that God intends, we're going to have to stir up. We're going to have to keep ourselves stirred up, so that things don't go down to the bottom and things don't get, you know, pushed to the side. And then, you know, the heavy things go to the bottom, the light things come up, and then you find yourself eating of just the light things rather than the things that are of substance. Come on, church. We got to say stirred up. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you need a good stirring. I need a good stirring. How about that? Praise God. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 says, therefore I remind you. Come on, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. I remind you. The responsibility for stirring up, for keeping it stirred up, is on the believer. Right. Amen. It's on the believer. The life of God, the gift of God, the things that are in you, it's like a fire. Amen. And when it comes in us, oh, it comes hot and fiery. You know, all of you, when you got saved, come on, when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I mean, everything just got bright and everything got hot and everything got vibrant. Man, and you were just like this. I mean, you were like, wow, you know, wow, the kingdom, wow, God, you know, to all this, because that fire was there. Amen. And so we got to keep that fire. We got to keep that flame at full capacity. We got to blow on that stuff. We got to put the right fuel in. We got to keep that fire hot. Amen. We got to make sure that it doesn't burn out. Listen, it can burn out. We saw that last week. There's a scripture that says, if you neglect the gift, things in you can become useless and powerless. If you neglect, we got to keep it stirred up. Come on, we got to keep ourselves hot for the Lord, knowing what's going on. To stir is an active word. It means to do something. And because this scripture is telling us, and there are several scriptures in Peter that says, I want to remind you to stir up, means that it must be something that our natural self is just not willing or wanting always to do. Come on, your natural self wants to just kind of sit around and just kind of float along, hope everything's going to work out. Come on. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we have to stir ourselves up. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to do something to keep alive what's in us from God. Amen? Amen. Now, let me show you this. Turn with me to Isaiah 54. I just want to say this. I didn't say it last week, but we do get some help in this stirring up thing. Amen. Okay? It is your responsibility, but we do get some help. Isaiah 54, verse 16, you know, the Lord did give ministers to the body of Christ. Thank God for that. Come on. We thank God for the fivefold gifts that Jesus thought it was necessary to give to the body. And so here's how we, the ministers, assist. Isaiah 54, 16. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. Now, you know that we, the body of Christ, all the believers, we are God's instruments.
Amen.
Amen. And we know that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that the parts are the work of the fivefold ministers is to bring the body of Christ, the believers, into doing the works of Christ. So you see that we get some help, praise God, from the ministers. Come on, the ministers can come along like me. Come on, I'm coming along now. I'm going to blow on your coals. Come on. Time to stir. So I'm going to help you get some things stirred up. But you got to remember that it is the responsibility of the believer to keep that sustaining fire.
Amen.
Okay? So the preachers are here. They can help you. I can help you. But truth is, you can't live off of my fire. I can poke you, prod you a little bit. Come on, blow on you. But you got to go home. I might not see you for 2 or 3 days. That should be about it, though. Just 2 or 3 days. I don't see you. But we don't go home together. And so this is always the thing I love about God is that I say it all the time. There's two sides to our spiritual life with God. There's the corporate side. Listen, if you're not in the assembly, if you're not connected to the body, if you're not there active often, you're going to miss out on some of the things that come through the corporate assembly. You're going to miss out sometimes on some blowing on your coals that are necessary for you to keep that fire up. But there's also the individual side of your life with God. You can't just live off of what goes on here at church. You can't live off my fire when you go home. You can't live off my revelation when you go home. I can tell you what revelation I have, but you got to get that own revelation in your own heart so that you can walk that out and live on that. Amen. So we are thankful for the preachers and we're thankful for what they do. But we do have to know that it's our responsibility to fuel that fire. Amen. Come on, you can't have just the coals. It's not just the coals. You got to have the fire. You got to have the fuel that goes. Amen. And then, you know, as the wind comes, as the air comes, woo, it begins to work together. Yes. Creates a big fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So last week, or part one of the message, we saw that we are, 2 Timothy 1:6, that we are to stir up the gift of God within us and the gift of God upon us. We also saw number 2 from Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, that we are to stir up that. We have to stir ourselves up. Come on, to love God, to love the kingdom, to love our brothers and sisters, to love the church. We got to stir ourselves up.
Yes.
Doesn't happen automatically.
That's right.
Amen.
And stirring ourselves up in love means we're going to love God by serving God. Means we're going to love our brothers and sisters by serving one another. So we got to stay stirred up. Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to read this and turn our attention tonight into something else that God's talking to us about stirring up. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. Now this word stir, as I read this word stir here means to awaken from sleep or stupor. It means to arouse or to wake up fully. And it implies alert, energetic, and lively. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this, Beloved, this is Peter speaking, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder, that you may be what? Mindful. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, that correlates to the Old Testament, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now that takes us into the New Testament. So what they were saying here is that they want to stir up, they want to bring to our remembrance so that we can stir up the words of God that have been spoken to us. Did you know that God is speaking words to us? He's certainly spoken some words to us in the Bible. In the Old Testament, he's spoken some things that still go through the cross and are valid today. He's spoken many things to us in the New Testament, given us all kind of instructions and direction for life and good stuff so that we can live the good and the abundant life. God is speaking to us, and this is saying, Peter was saying that he wanted to remind them that they were to stir themselves up to the words that were spoken to them.
Amen.
To the written word, but also to the rhema words. to the words that God speaks individually for you or for a church, for a moment, for a season, to stir ourselves up into the prophecies that are given over our lives, to stir ourselves up into the things that God shares with us and tells us. Even dreams, in a sense, or visions, in a sense. Usually when you wake up from a God dream, you know that God is saying something. It's not just a wow, wonderful, woo, look what I saw. No, there's a substance. There's a something that God is saying to us. You know, at the Women of Faith retreat, the theme of the retreat was intimacy. So we spent our time, you know, hearing the word, but also practicing, demonstrating, working to get closer to God, get more intimate with God, know him more deeply. And as I was preaching, you know, I was talking about the various ways, many ways that we can draw near to God. You know, we need to know all the ways that we can draw near to God, not box God in and get comfortable with just one thing. There's many ways to reach God. This is part of progressing. This is part of growing. I was talking about just hanging out with God, just hanging out with him, where we're not worshiping him and singing to him, where we're not praying to him and requesting things or confessing things, but where we're just hanging out, you know, like kind of, and I said this, sometimes you can just hang out with somebody and you don't even have to be speaking. But you walk away, whether it was sitting or maybe you're at the beach, you walk away knowing you're closer to them. Even though you didn't have like an exchange necessarily of a conversation, there's just something that happens being in proximity, being in proximity, the presence of God, just hanging out.
Amen.
And so as I was talking about this, the Lord prompted me to tell everybody to get on the floor, that we were going to practice just saturating or soaking in God's presence. And so I told everybody, I said, now, as you get on the floor, I don't want you to sing to the Lord. I don't want you to pray to the Lord. I want you to just lay there. And I said, and I want you just to picture God. And so one of the ladies that was there, this really blessed me. She came to tell me later that as she was going to lay down on the floor, she was asking the Lord, well, Lord, how do I picture you? Because, you know, what do we really, I mean, we don't really know exactly what Jesus looked like. She was asking, Lord, how do I picture you? You know, she's probably thinking, do I do it on the cross? Do I do you, you know, try to you resurrected? Do I do you walking the streets of Galilee? And so she was kind of concerned about that. She said the minute that she laid down and closed her eyes, Jesus was standing next to her.
Wow.
And she didn't have to worry about what he looked like or how she should look at him because he was right there.
Amen.
And she said she wanted to look at him, but as she started to look, her attention was drawn down. And she said, Jesus standing right next to her, she said there was all kind of rocky and gravelly. It was the path that she was standing on was very uneven and very messed up. She said, but all of a sudden Jesus put his hand on her shoulder. And she said, all the pavement went completely smooth. And the Lord told her, I'm taking you to a smoother path.
Amen.
Now, what happens if she never thinks about that again? God speaks to us because he wants us to hear what he's saying, and he wants us to connect with that. He wants us to be mindful of those words that he's speaking to us. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy. So tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about stirring yourself up to the words of God, to the things that God has spoken to you, the things that God is speaking to you, to really stir yourself up with them. You know, we hear these things and we hear messages like this and we think, wow, that's great, but do we do them? Do we really practice them? Do we really know what it's like to stir ourselves up to the words of God that God has spoken? Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy. This is a charge. This is a very intense word. I make a charge here. I'm committing something to you. It says, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. In other words, God has said some things to you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. No, you know, when I see that wage the good warfare, that instantly takes me into the fight.
Right.
We're to wage a good warfare over the prophecy spoken. We're to wage a good warfare in the fight of faith.
Amen.
We're to stir ourselves up to the words of God Because that's one way that we stir ourselves up and stay stirred up to God. Hallelujah. So he said, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith. When I see this, the first thing I recognize is that Paul knew that prophecies had been spoken over Timothy. I dare to say that I know that there are some prophecies that have been spoken over many of you. Then to say this, that by them you may wage the good warfare, not only did Paul know that there had been prophecies spoken over Timothy, but he expected that Timothy knew what those prophecies were. Amen. Amen. That you're to wage a good warfare over them, that tells me that they're not automatic. That tells me that God can say something to you, whether he says it to you in your prayer time, in your communion time, or whether he says it through someone else, however it comes, it can absolutely be God. It can be God. It can be God breathed. It can be God's purpose. It can be absolutely from the Spirit of God, the perfect will of God, and carry all the power that it needs to perform that word. But if you don't know it, if you don't wage a warfare over it, come on, if you don't mix your faith with it, if you don't stir yourself up to it so that your faith can come alive, it can go by you. We got to stay stirred up. Amen. We got to stir ourselves up concerning the prophecies that we've heard, concerning the things that God has said to us. We have to contend for them. Come on, we have to be contenders. This is me contending for this word. Amen. It's important. These are God words. Amen. It's important. If we don't stir ourselves up to them, there's a really good chance that we're going to burn out. Because God gives us words for a purpose. He doesn't just say, oh, let me just throw around these words. No, when he gives us a word, it's to encourage us. It's to help us. Amen. And so if we don't keep ourselves stirred up to the words, we find that many times we're going to burn out, or at least we're going to grow dim, and therefore we're going to miss out. And I don't know about y'all, but I really get grieved by the body of Christ missing out on things that we shouldn't miss out on. Amen. Let me tell you something from Frank DiMaggio. This is the way that he put it. I just want to talk about this a little in relation to prophecy. Now, there are different realms of prophecy. There's not all prophecy is not the same. If you don't understand prophecy, how prophecy is, the different realms of prophecy, how to test prophecy, how to act on prophecy, all that, then you should get my series over there in the bookstore, because it's very good. It will really help you. But Frank DiMaggio said this. He said that prophecy is speaking forth the word or the words of God for the purposes of God. So let's just break it down really simply. In general terms, it's telling in human word what God is bringing to our hearts. It's telling in human words at a moment what is God's mind. What does God want to say? It's human's words that the Spirit uniquely brings to our mind at a time. And when that comes, it should bear witness with us. Okay, don't turn there. But the definition of New Testament prophecy, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Okay, edification means to construct, firm up, and build. It means to strengthen. So when a word comes from God, it should strengthen us. It should build us up. Amen. Should make us stronger. Also comes as exhortation, meaning encouragement. It imparts a courage. You do know encouragement has courage attached. We miss this out sometimes because we think of encouragement as, oh, let me encourage you. The root word of encouragement is a courage. Right. Amen. When God says something, it's like, man, now I got the courage to do it. Now I got the courage to believe that. Amen. So he speaks an encouragement. It also means to motivate. Well, God says something to you that ought to motivate you. It also means it's a calling nearer to God. I love that. It also means to comfort. And to comfort means to help and come alongside. Again, it's not like a human, like we think of the word comfort. I'm going to come along and sympathize with you and pat you on your back and let me comfort you. No, no, no. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's where the Spirit of God comes alongside you, takes hold of something with you, takes hold of the fact that you need a healing. Listen, I've had words from God about somebody's healing that I know that I know that I know in that moment God was saying something to them. And the reason he was saying them was to help them combat all of their doubts and their fears and their worries. It was a coming alongside. If they could just latch on. If they could just wage a warfare. No, God has said. No, God has said. And I'm not talking about a warfare doesn't end sometimes in one day. In a warfare, I don't know about you, but in a warfare, when it's all out, you know, either die or go home, you stay with it until the fight is won. Amen. That's where we're going to have to get to in this stirring ourselves up in the faith life. We're going to have to wage a warfare where that's it. God has said, and I ain't leaving here. I'm not letting this go. So stir it up. Let me tell you a couple of other things about prophecy or hearing God's words. New Testament prophecy lifts up, it never puts down, because that's who God is. It's what God does. And if it comes from God's Spirit, it's going to lift you up. It's not going to gloom and doom you. Even if God corrects you, it's a loving correction. Ooh, and it just, ooh, thank you, Lord, for that. We got to stir ourselves up to these things. Prophecy can come through other people, but I believe general prophecy, not talking about the word of prophecy, the nine gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about general prophecy, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of Jesus. General prophecy can come through yourself. I mean, there's many times I'm worshiping or I'm praying and God begins to say something to me. There's many times I journal that God begins to write something and say something to me. That's God's words to me in that moment. I have to take hold of them. A prophetic word can be one word. Listen, we don't get to tell God. Sometimes one word. Just one word. If we'll just latch on to one word. It can be a sentence. Several sentences. It can be a prophetic message. It can be not about the whole, but the message was this. I got this. This is it. This is what God is saying. Prophecy can come to someone specifically, be for a specific person at a specific moment, but prophecy can also come to a group of people. God has purposes in the corporate assembly. You do know that's one way that God keeps us unified, right? Is that God directs our attention toward one thing, one pursuit, one mind, one heart. We're all headed in this direction. And you know what happened when unity comes, right? All the good stuff comes. Come on, the outpouring comes. Come on, the glory shows up. All right in the midst of unity. But I want you to know that those prophetic words or those God words, the Bible is God's words. And if we will read the Bible as God's word, it'd be like we read and all of a sudden, woo! Amen. Whoa. I mean, that's it. That's it. The words carry with them the power to accomplish what is said. Those words carry with them the power to bring them about, to bring them to pass. Hallelujah. Listen, when God speaks, he doesn't give little slogans or catchphrases. When we think of a little slogan or a catchphrase, you better make sure that you got the real power of God attached to that. We can't take God's words lightly. Just a little phrase, go a little tag phrase, a little saying something, and not really down in your heart connecting with what is God really saying here. When a word comes, there's a work that accompanies that word from the Lord. It's not just a pep talk. It's not just something to make me feel good today. Well, again, it's different from natural encouragement or a pep talk versus spiritual encouragement, where there is something of the Holy Ghost that wants to take hold with you and give you courage to act on that. It's not just a pep talk. It's an assignment. When God says something to you, there's an assignment in it. So we've got to be contending for the words of God, for the intents of God, in a season of our life. Amen. We got to know what they are. Amen. We got to be contending for them. When we hear God's word for a specific season or a time or a something or a project, we've got to know that with that word, He empowers us. Amen. To see that through. That's right. To do that, to get the benefit of it, to see the manifestation of it. You need to know that prophetic words are connected. I say this all the time. I can prove this from years. I can go back 15 years of my life and tell you every single year what God has said to me and prove to you that they're connected. Why is that important? Because if you don't grasp something in a season, you might miss out on something of the next season that was going to be available to you that you didn't get because you forgot to stir yourself up and wage your good warfare. The God loves us and He's merciful and He'll stay with us, but He's really serious about this. I told y'all last year, remember God talked to us about going after some things, running after, if we'd had stuff stolen, if we needed to recover stuff. And I had written down some things in my life and I was working toward them. And when I got into January, the Lord told me, He said, you left something on the table. He wasn't happy about it. In other words, He was telling me, I said something to you in this area and you didn't get it. I got after it. I'm working it out. I'm working on that one. Prophecy or words from God, they're just that. They're words from God. So that means they're eternal. That means they may be for a season and help you in a something, but they live forever. That's why I know most of them. Well, I have all of them written down. If you don't write it down, how are you going to wage a good warfare? Isn't that what the prophet said, Habakkuk? When we see things or hear things from God, we have to take the time to write them down, to read them, to say them. I don't think it really says say, but it says to write them and read them so that we can run with them. Even the Old Testament prophets understood that we had a responsibility to wage a warfare over what God said. And I don't know if many of you know this, but you do know I'm always asking for your testimonies. Do you know partly why I ask for your testimonies? Number one, because I like to get testimonies out there because testimonies build faith. Testimonies are good stirrer-uppers. Amen. But another reason is that I'm trying to force you to write them down. Yeah. Do you notice that I'm still waiting on a couple of testimonies from people? And what bothers me is that I know they haven't written them down. Mm-hmm. Things grow dim. We say, oh, no, that was so wonderful. I'll never lose that. If you don't keep the flame burning on it, it'll go out. It'll get dim. It'll become just a, what was that? I've had things, but in my early days, there were two things that I lost of God, things that God said to me, and they were so beyond my natural capacity that I didn't write them down, and I lost them. I couldn't get them. It taught me something very early on to take the time. When God says something, it's important. And today there's really no excuse because we have devices everywhere we go. You can be riding in the car and God says, and you boom, on right on your phone. God just said to me on this time at this such and such a day, this is what God said, boo, 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 boo. Got it. Boo, 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 that's new. Don't know where that came from. But really the truth is that prophetic words, they anchor our life, they connect with our life, they steer our life. And so I believe that they're probably much bigger than what we know, that they probably should be kept active and alive in our heart because we can continually live off of them and glean things from them because they're the living words of God. In God's sight, they never die. The Spirit of the Lord is connected to the Word, these words of God. So what He's waiting for is us to wager that Good warfare is fight that fight of faith so that we can get them alive, so that we start reading them, you know, saying them, move, and then he moves on them. The Spirit of God can't move on things until really we mix our faith with it. That's why Timothy was saying, hey, I'm making a charge to you. Don't forget what God said to you. Wage a warfare over it. He knew that if Timothy didn't mix his faith, if he didn't keep himself stirred up so that faith will come and faith will stay and faith will remain. You know, faith comes by hearing. Hearing is an active word. It's not a past tense. You don't hear something once, faith come for a moment, and then never have to look at it again. Your faith won't stay alive in that area. But the Spirit of the Lord is connected with these things. He's waiting for us to release them so that he can act upon them and move things and cause things to shift and cause things to change and cause things to line up. Come on. Don't we need some of that? Don't we need some things to move and some things to shift and some things to line up according to the will of God? And where we need the Holy Ghost to do that. Have you noticed that you can't do it yourself? Well, have you noticed that the Holy Ghost works with the Word of God? Come on, it's the Spirit and the Word that work together. We're going to have to get God's words on it. A couple weeks ago, we had Tanisha, and Pam was assisting her leading prayer. Patrick was playing for praise and worship. And I had asked Tanisha if in one section of the prayer time, if she would pray into the four words that God gave us for this year. I really believe God gave us four words. I'm working my faith around those four words. And so I asked her, I said, in this one section, I just want you to take these four words and just pray into them as the Spirit leads. That's all I said. You know, we had a few other little instructions here, and praise God, I know her. I know she knows God. I got home, and although I'd already heard wonderful reports, I know that the presence of God was here. I asked her how it went. And you know what she told me? She said, well, really, it was when we started praying those four words for the church that the momentum came and the Spirit began to work. What was he waiting for? He was waiting. That's God's intent for us in this season. We're going to have to stir ourselves up around those four words. And this is why it's important. I'm just going to say it. Now, you know, this comes by the Spirit of the Lord. So if you don't like it, you talk to God. This is why you have to be careful about where else all the time you're lending your ear and how much you're lending your ear to other places. Because when God puts you together corporately and has a corporate something, he's wanting everybody corporately to hook into that. And if you got your ear off into, listen, there are lots of prophets off there, but not every prophet that's saying something is a prophet for your life at that moment. Not every prophetic word that really is from God is for you in that season. And if God is saying some things to us and we know they're connected, we don't want to lose out because we were over here dabbling in something else when the next thing tries to come. Amen. Prophecies don't just happen automatically. In the Old Testament, they did. But in the New Testament, they don't. Now, do I need to explain why that is? Let me just give you a quick recap. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God, Jesus had not come, had not shed his blood, had not gone up to heaven, and had not poured out the Holy Spirit. So the only way that God could lead his people and guide his people and tell people things, his people things, was that he would have the Spirit of God come on a person, a prophet, a king, a priest, for a moment, for a specific word, a direction, a something at a time, then that Spirit would lift. Well, because people did not have the Holy Spirit in them, the only way that they knew that it was God really speaking and not a false prophet or something that was just made up was that it had to come to pass. So in the Old Testament, there was 100% requirement. If you prophesied in the Old Testament and it did not come to pass, it meant that it was not a true prophecy. That totally went away in the New Testament church, because every believer now has the Spirit of God and can speak by the unction of the Spirit or occasionally miss it. Every believer has the Spirit of God in them, where they're supposed to be able to discern in a moment whether that was really God, whether that was really for me, or if it wasn't. And if it wasn't, it's not that they're a false prophet and a bad person. Don't get mad at them. Just don't receive it. It's no big deal. Just let it go. In the New Testament, we're required to live by faith. We're required to connect our faith with what God has said. Most New Testament prophecy that comes is not directive. It's more a forthtelling than a predicting foretelling. And God is waiting for you to hear and connect your life with it and your faith with it so that he can get involved with it. So the 100% accuracy rule went out the window in New Testament prophecy. And this is why I'm going to say it again. This is why I'm going to say it again. This is why I, as a prophet, get very angry when I hear people say that God doesn't do anything in the church until he tells the prophets. That is an Old Testament doctrine, and it is wrong. What it does is it calls you to lean and look to these prophets and expect that they're telling you something from God that you don't know. A New Testament prophet is supposed to confirm something in your heart. Maybe you didn't have head knowledge of it at the moment, but when it comes, it should ignite with your heart and not be something, prophet, let me just find the prophet. Listen, I've had people do that, chase me down. Can you give me a word? Can you give me a word? Oh, and it's like, no. You need to be able to hear from God yourself. And so we can't glorify the prophet. I am speaking as one, so I can say it. Seriously. You don't have to wait on the prophet to tell you anything about your life coming or what God's doing in the church. Did I not make something clear? Okay. I'm looking to the teacher. I want to make sure it's scriptural. But these things are important. How many of you could lift your hand and say that you've had some sort of a prophecy, something where you've known in a something that God has said something to you, whether it came from somebody else or whether everybody in their room ought to have their hand up. So what are you doing with those? Have you written them down? Do you read over them? Do you stir yourself up to them? You know, the stirring that I'm talking about, it's an inward thing. It's not even an emotional thing. We have to remember this as Christians. We're not looking to stir up. I'm not looking to stir up your emotions. I'm not looking for emotional worship. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for worship in spirit. I'm looking for a stirring up on the inside. Now, it may come out. It may even start with an hour. And on the inside, at the same time. Pastor Chaz has mastered. He tells me all the time, I was so excited on the inside. But I'm like, that's okay with me. It's a stirring on the inside. And we stir ourselves up by thinking on things and reading things and saying things and testimonies and the Word of God and praying and fasting and yielding to the Holy Ghost. Tongues. Tongues is a stirrer. The Bible says as we speak in tongues or pray in tongues, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. That's stirring up your faith. By reading and confessing and meditating upon the written word of God, upon the things that God has said. I think I told y'all last week about the healing service I had. I just got out the testimony, started reading them, started stirring myself up again. And God just broke out right in our midst. We're going to have to keep ourselves stirred up. Amen. These things matter. They matter to God. They matter to the kingdom of God. They matter to your church. I often wonder, I don't know if y'all know it, but every time in this church we have a tongue and an interpretation or we have a prophecy that's corporate, it's recorded. Every time, and I keep them. And I can tell you what God has said. Can you? Is he saying them just for me? Well, Pastor Johnny, I don't have time to write that down. Go back and look at go back and view the service. Come on, folks, this is where the rubber meets the road. We're either going to have to live as a church on fire or we're going to be doomed.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.